Christ is not the only child of God. As long as you've got mortality to deal with, you have not translated the appearance of mortal forms into the one invisible Christ life. Remember, the invisible there is the invisible Christ life everywhere, appearing to human sense as many forms. Life is there as invisible Christ. Forms are there as the mental tempter. The herd of cattle isn't there. The covey of ducks isn't there. The wedge of birds in the sky isn't there. The litter of kittens isn't there. Why? Because this is a spiritual universe. All that is present is the invisible light of God. All that is present is the light of your being everywhere. There is no mortality. There is no animality. There is no nature. There is the light of God everywhere, interpreted by the tempter into the many forms we see. When you have overcome the belief in the forms by knowing the life that is present behind them, you'll find even the tempter becomes a friendly tempter. Nothing to fight, nothing to argue about. Just pat him on the back and say, "On your way, little man. I see all of this, and I'm even going to enjoy it. But I'm going to live in that fourth dimensional consciousness of the invisible light of the Father, I, Christ, my identity everywhere, whether it's seemingly friend or foe. And I'm going to rest in the knowledge that no power is needed in I, Christ, realized. Nothing to overcome." You might stumble across some scenes where you see a couple of animals setting upon another animal, and you wonder, what can I do about it? How can I protect that animal? Well, that's how I, Christ. Rest in the knowledge of I, Christ is there, not three animals fighting. And watch. Watch how truth in consciousness shows you that what you were seeing isn't what's there. And that truth in consciousness dissolves what seemed to be there, and lo and behold, there's three very harmless animals no longer at war with each other. When you are resting in the one invisible life where the three forms seem to be, you'll find many opportunities to practice this. Life is full of all these unexpected moments when they're thrust upon you. And if you've been living consciously in your identity, it won't catch you by surprise. You won't have to change gears suddenly. You'll be in the right spiritual gear to just look and say, "Yes, I see it, but I am not tempted to accept that there is discord here where I stand in the kingdom of God." Certainly, there's no one who's going to live this way unless they have been subject to many, many sad conditions in this world. You won't find people jumping into this who have a yacht that can take them around the world and every foreign country they want to go, who is free as the breeze right now and sailing high. They're not going to be interested. But if you've had your yacht and it capsized one day, If you've had your big business and it turned upside down, if you've had your health and it went away, if something happened in your family that really made you sit up and wonder what it's all about, then and only then are these stringent steps something you can look at and say, it's not too hard for me. No, I'd rather travel that hard route than the knocks and bruises of a world where freedom is a myth. I can only live in spiritual freedom. That's the only kind of freedom there is. When you reach the plateau of knowing that only spiritual freedom is truly freedom, then no matter how difficult a course, what of it? It doesn't stop at any particular point. It's not going to stop in 20 years. It's a continuation of self throughout eternity. Every ounce of truth in spiritual consciousness that you develop now is yours throughout eternity. We're not looking at the next 15 or 20 years. We're looking at a life without beginning and end. We've graduated to the place where life is our concern, not form. Where when we hear the word Christ, we know we're talking about life, as contrasted to the human idea of life called form. The garment of immortality is in life, not in form. I think we've reached a place where a pause would be good. We'll just briefly rest in the word. I, one with the Father. There's no division between your identity and God. No division in space, no division in time. Always, wherever you happen to be, even in a sense of form, your true identity is one with God, inseparable. And therefore, in an instant of recognition of that identity, the fullness of God can flow through your identity, expressing divinity, omnipotence, omniscience, perfection in all things as living grace. Whenever you rest in the knowledge of I, Christ, I, my grace, is thy sufficiency in all things. And so we abide there. In that consciousness which is not subject to the temptation to believe in a world or conditions that were not created by God. We'll take a little recess for about 6-7 minutes. You can always depend on Joel for a surprise. And so when he takes the ground out from under us, we know that he's getting warm now. He's given us an introduction. Now he's ready to talk to the faithful. Now listen to this very subtle phrase here. We rest in the word that the carnal mind is not enmity against God. It is the arm of flesh, a nothingness which must be understood to be an impersonal source of evil. An impersonal source of evil. Somebody can be coming at you with a hammer, and this is an impersonal source of evil. Now, how can that be? A whole army can be coming to your nation, and this is an impersonal source of evil. Whatever is he saying? Impersonal meaning without a person. These are his words. Impersonal meaning without a person. And then without a you or me. We are the person it is without when we impersonalize it. Well, it would take 10 years for us to really reach a place where we could say, oh, I see what he means. Now here's this army coming, and you're to impersonalize it. Here's this epidemic, and you're to impersonalize it. And the way you impersonalize it is, don't get rid of the human army. Don't get rid of the human threat. Get rid of you. Well, isn't that I, Christ? Am the only identity here? They have only the arm of flesh. We have the Lord God Almighty. We have Christ's identity. Everything forces you to you, to stepping out of the false sense of you, to let I, Christ, do the work. And even though we can reach verbal and mental agreement about these things to some extent, nothing takes the place of a deep meditation in which you are able to release yourself from the false sense of you. Now, here's an exercise which I find is very effective. I call it stepping out of my environment. According to the human sense of things, you're standing right where you are, in a dress or a suit. It's Sunday at a certain time, at a certain address. None of that is true in I, Christ. And so the exercise is to step out of your environment in your consciousness. To know consciously that I am not a person moving within four walls, under a roof, on a floor, not living in a time or a space. I'm not living in a mortal sense of self. I'm breaking all of the bonds of the conditioned mind in this meditation. The Son of God has no place to lay his head. But that is me, the Son of God. I have no place to lay my head. I don't even have a head to lay. I am pure everywhere spirit. I have no human environment. This is in your meditation. And you're not concerned in this meditation about the logic or reason of it to a human mind or to any other human mind. You're breaking the fetters of a false sense of environment, resting in the knowledge that I am not a finite self. I'm breaking the fetters of time. I am that self which was not born of father or mother. I am that self which is not confined to a shape or a weight or a size. I am pure self. I have no human environment. I do not live in the world. You won't find myself walking on this earth or in the stars or in the atmosphere. Myself is the only. There is no earth or stars or atmosphere. There is just my pure being everywhere. And in this meditation, you rest there. You rest in the Word. I, Christ, the unlimited self, the infinite self, infinite as the Father, one with the Father, unbounded, free. You're not trying to make it happen. You're realizing the nature of being. It's only a spiritual exercise. But when you lose the sense of mortality there, and the new awareness tumbles in, you realize it's much more than a spiritual exercise. It brings in a whole new government. It releases you to the law of spirit. It releases you from the law of karma. It releases you from human thought, human predicaments, human situations, the need for human decisions. It moves you in the rhythm of grace. I find every time you enter the exercise of leaving your environment, you reach the place of realizing your immortal self. It's better than reading an entire book. It prepares you so that you don't even have to face the tempter. Your new consciousness knows no tempter. The tempter only exists in the old world consciousness. You are out of the way. And when you're out of the way, lo and behold, so is the tempter. The tempter is only where you are. To get Satan out of the way, get you out of the way, you'll find you and Satan disappear together. Here in the kingdom of God, there's no tempter. tempter is only in the world, not in your Father's kingdom. The tempter is never in your consciousness of Christ. But that tempter, that so-called evil, is a very disguised force that forces us into the kingdom of God realized. The descent of the Holy Ghost happens when you have left your world environment in your country. For then you transcend time and space, which is the backdrop of the complete dream of mortality. When you're doing this, you're really saying, "Speak, Father, thy Son heareth." I'm not in the world where I couldn't hear you. I'm in your kingdom. Now I can hear every word. Reveal thyself, Father. I'm ready to serve thy word. Not my will, not my word, but thine. Remember this exercise, and it doesn't matter when you do it, you'll find that when you come back into your so-called sense of mortality, the world around you won't be quite as ominous as it seemed to be a moment before. Nor will the material weight of the world seem quite as heavy. You will be a lighter individual. You'll begin to sense the realm of miracles where nothing is impossible. Where you expect the impossible always. Because the impossible merely is another way of experiencing that which is not of this world, but is in my Father's kingdom. Out of your environment in physicality, in the world around your physicality, you know the power of grace. It functions in the infinite Son, who is not earthbound, anchored to the material sense of life. And it flows with its hidden manna, its divine qualities. They appear as you. Thou seest you, thou seest the Father, when you have left the false sense of environment. That takes the false sense of heredity right with it. The world beholds where you stand the activity of God. It's a very pleasant spiritual exercise. It isn't done with any great mental power. It's just the resting in the knowledge that all that can be here is the kingdom of God. And all of the false props of the mind, time, space, motion, matter, structure, physicality, these never have existed in the spirit. For that 10 or 20 or 30 minutes, you will not have a digestive system to worry about. or a back, or an arm, or a shoulder, or a heart, or even a brain. You are being the perfect self. Incorporeal spirit. And it has a carryover effect so that the consciousness you attain in that moment of grace becomes part of the consciousness that walks with you during the rest of the day. You discover the ease and effortlessness of living. I go before you. Throughout the chapter, Joel speaks of impersonalizing and nothingizing. When you have allowed yourself to accept I, Christ, and followed it to its logical conclusion, not being earthbound in your consciousness, you have impersonalized the world. You have nothingized the conditions of the world. You are letting spirit transform your environment through that mind which no longer is the human mind. And so your world is renewed, regenerated. Power of spirit, ever present as it is, now begins to direct your affairs. Infinite intelligence guides you in all things. You are not a house apart. You are not doing acts that are unordained. You are not mounted in self-will, self-love, self-esteem, self-aggrandizement. You are letting the Father build the house. And you will prosper, because it is the law of the Spirit that sufficiency must appear wherever the Son of God is. And if that be you, that sufficiency must appear in all things. A little walk in the kingdom of God will always restore you to the faith that God is present. You will know you have never been apart, never in a limited corporeal self. That you have never really had a true problem. You've only had an unconscious separation from that from which you can never really be separate. And more you know the child of God is truly your real name. For you, there is not a future. There is an infinite now beckoning, saying, live in this infinity of being now. Don't fractionalize. Don't let that little mind torment you into being a creature again. Don't get rid of the human problems. Get rid of the sense of humanhood. Take the whole backdrop of humanhood away. Step out of your mental environment. into the fullness of your being and rest, abiding, letting the Word live itself. It's a grand and glorious experience and a preview of freedom. In your true self, you are now free. Back in the mentality of a human being, we are in an involuntary bondage to world thought. Living out a false sense of karma, which never exists in reality. Making corrections where there's nothing to correct. I, in the midst of you, have overcome the world. When you are I, you will discover there is no world to overcome. I am the unbounded self of the spiritual kingdom. And I am come. My kingdom has come. My kingdom is not from hence, but here, now. And you are in my kingdom, for you are myself. You will read from time to time that certain groups have suddenly found meditation. We read, for example, that the ACT Conservatory Theater here has just found meditation. They've had a 10-week program now, and, says the director, from a practical standpoint, we find that there's less friction, there's more confidence, everything works better. And he emphasizes that I'm only interested from a practical point of view. And then there are others who state that they were on narcotics. But this is a better trip because it's a continuous trip without the ups and downs. Now, when they find meditation, this is still the kindergarten stage. And it is usually to improve a sense of humanhood. And I want to be sure that we are not meditating from the standpoint of improving our sense of humanhood. We are meditating to leave our human environment, to leave the conditioned thought which has placed margins around us, and to break those margins, which are only mental margins, to come into the unlimited sense of spiritual selfhood, with absolutely no desire or thought or hope of improving humanhood, because that would be tragic. Our purpose is to be spiritual being, which has overcome the world, and to live in the freedom of pure spirit, under the law of spirit, guided by the love of spirit, in a universal oneness, free of world appearances, doing, living, experiencing the greater works, which are the inherent heritage of the Christ. So we come to a place now where to do the greater works, you must express the greater sense of self. The lesser sense of self will only do the lesser works. Where will you stop? The moment you find a place to stop, you have lost infinity. The law of infinity is to continue in my word. Continue in selfhood. Continue until the infinity of your being is so clear to you that every finite thought and action no longer interests you whatsoever. You won't pour yourself back into a straitjacket called mortality. The infinity of spirit is our home. And we're learning to be comfortable in it. Even though we travel for a while without eyes, the Spirit of the Father will lead us. It will be our hands. It will be a lamp unto our feet. It will be the very activity of our being. And though we seem to walk without the usual crutches called senses, we are developing senses of the soul to walk in the invisible kingdom. Satan won't try to keep you out of that kingdom once you have discovered the human mind is that Satan. Otherwise, Satan works under the cloak of your own human mind, and naturally you believe that human mind until you know that it is the devil of the Bible. Then you can rise above it, free of it. You'll even find that it turns right around to help you once it is subservient to your higher self. Remember our exercise, stepping out of your environment. It's worth much more than a long, long sermon. I hear a little rustling. I suppose it's time. Is that it? Well, I guess it is. We're staying with Satan for a while. He has a few things for us, and we for him. I think we're going to lick him. I think we have some wonderful surprises for Satan. And I want to say hello and a welcome to all the newcomers I've noticed. When I say newcomers, I mean just to this room, but you're not new to spirit, and I know it. And so, we're all old hands now at walking this invisible path too. Thanks for being here, and next week we're going to continue with this very chapter, and we're still in the last part of 8 in John. I'm sure we'll get to 8 in John next time. Thanks again. Thank you.